Our Father in heaven, we have gathered here today and with thankful hearts, acknowledging and confessing your faithfulness to us over the years. And Lord, we are conscious that we are recipients, we are beneficiaries of much faithfulness and much hard work and prayer that has gone on before us. And so today, Lord God, as we think about and reflect on all of the goodness that has been given to this church in the past, we pray that we would be wise in using that deposit of godliness and faith and obedience and love. We pray that you would help us to take that and carry it forward into the future and to say with Joshua, we will serve the Lord. As for our house, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So we pray you would help us now as we look at this passage of Scripture together for a bit, that you would take it and bring it into our hearts and lives. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a parent here today, you've probably found yourself at some point as a parent saying to your child something like, when I was what? When I was 21, when I was 7 years old, actually, that's what we hear in our house. When I was young, okay, when I was young, this is what we used to do, that's what we used to do. And as soon as those words come out of your mouth, there's two things that usually occur. Usually you hear your parents saying exactly the same thing, don't you? You hear your mum or your dad, that you hear their voice and you go, oh no. I'm just saying what my father used to say to me. And also you notice your child, their eyes tends to take on a slightly glazed look. And they stare off into the far distance. And you remember that when your parents said the same thing to you, you went, oh, as if that's relevant, okay? As if that is relevant to me. But then you also remember, though, that And it annoys the heck out of you, is that actually you're trying to tell them something quite useful and helpful, and that if they only listened, they might avoid some pain themselves in the future, or they might learn something useful that they could put into practice in their lives. The same can be same thing can happen in the church. Some of you may have heard of a guy called Pastor Harry Reader. He's the pastor of a church called Briarwood Presbyterian Church. And he's big on church revitalization. So he's like, yeah, church planting is good, but we should also revitalize existing churches. And he tells an account of, he went to visit a church that had been around for a long time. I mean, we think, you know, 15 years, it's not really that long, is it? He visited a church that had been around for a couple hundred years, and the deacon was taking him on a tour of the church building. Can't do it here, but he was walking down the main sort of hallway going to the sanctuary or whatever it was, and there was a whole lot of photos on the wall. And the deacon was walking along and explaining all the different photos, and they were photos of all the pastors who had pastored this church over the years. And he said he got to one photo on the wall, and he said he wouldn't have been surprised if he had lit a couple of candles and bowed down in front of this photo, because he said this was kind of like the golden years of that church. And he said he discovered that everybody would talk about that and look back to that and you know, reminisce and say, oh, those were the days, you know, and if only. And so it's good for us today, as we look back, not to sort of not to get stuck in the past, but also not to dismiss the past. It's kind of a delicate balance, isn't it? It's so important that as we look back and we give thanks for what God has done over the past 15 years, it's really important for us to celebrate that, to acknowledge that, and to see that how God has used different individuals and different people over the years. But also to say, look, we can't though live there, can we? You know what it's like when you find someone who's trying to live in the past and you talk to them and all they talk about is like what happened and what they did And it kind of gets a little bit sad, doesn't it? And you feel a little bit sorry for them. And you think, well, hey, maybe we need to move on into the future. We need to think about tomorrow. Even at least today would be nice. And so, you know, we what we need to do is... oh, yeah, you got a beer. Thanks. Yeah, I was after a cold one. My wife knows how I feel when I'm preaching, so... No, it's not... Water, thank you. Whoever gives a cup of cold water in my name, amen. Thank you. I don't normally drink water when I'm preaching. Thank you. I might get into the habit. I notice Hamish drinks a lot of water. It helps you, doesn't it? You know, it's important that we let those memories and those lessons of the past spur us on into the future. So not to just get stuck there, but to say, okay, how can we take all that good stuff that's happened, all those, you know, all those great ministries that have gone on? And this is kind of what Joshua is doing here in this passage that we read together, in case you were sort of wondering what it was all about. Joshua knows he's 110 years old, okay? Quite old. He's 110 years old, and he knows that he's going to go the way of all the earth. What does that mean? What's the way of all the earth? He's going to pass away. He's going to die, isn't he? Yeah. And so he knows that his time has come. But in his heart and his mind, he's concerned about what is going to happen to the people. What will happen to them once he leaves? He has led them into the promised land. And so what he does is he brings them to this place called Shechem. And you wonder, well, why Shechem, you know? Well, Shechem was significant for the Israelites. It was at Shechem that God had appeared to Abraham in Genesis 12 and said to Abraham, Abraham, come out and leave your family and your father's household and come and follow me, and I will make you into a great nation, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. It was at Shechem that we're told in Genesis 35 that Jacob... one of Abraham's descendants, he went and took all the household idols that his family had accumulated, all the false gods, and he buried them at Shechem. And so Joshua, isn't it significant that he summons them now to Shechem to prepare them for his departure and to also to prepare them, he's going away, and to prepare them for the next phase of their life as a nation, as a collection of 12 tribes. And so what he does is he does this, he looks back, which is what we've just been doing this morning, doesn't he? He looks back and says, do you remember? And he recites the history. He says, you know, Abraham was obedient, he followed God. Moses and Aaron, they led the people out of Egypt and led them through the wilderness wandering. And in their wilderness wanderings, it wasn't straightforward. They had to fight for their survival. They had to fight the Amorites. They had to fight for the Moabites. There was conquest of Jericho. Remember, and he reminds them about Jericho. Everybody loves the story of Jericho, how the walls fell down. And he reminds them how they've taken over this land that God promised to Abraham. And in verse 13, notice how he explains it to them. He says, so I gave you a land on which you did not toil and cities which you did not build, and you live in them and you eat from the vineyards and the olive groves that you did not plant. And so what he's saying is that you now today as a people, you've come into a land that you have basically inherited, that has been given to you by God. And it's other people who built the cities and other people who planted the olive groves and other people who have planted the vineyards. Now, what about the future? And so he turns to the future and he challenges them. Verse 14, now fear the Lord. There's another balloon. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Okay, so what he's doing is he's challenging them to continue in the good path of single-hearted loyalty and faithfulness to God. And I guess that's the thought and the challenge that I want to bring before our hearts and minds today as we look back and also as we look into the future. And just some things out of this. The first thing is that You know, it's good for us to look back as a foundation for our future. It's good to look back. You know, we kind of live in an era where everybody's just about the present. I was just thinking about this, having a conversation, and they were saying, you know, I don't see any relevance, and we're talking about a document. You know, I don't see any relevance in this document, this book. It's the Westminster Confession of Faith, by the way. And it's like, well, what is the relevance of that? Well, this is something that is from the past. You know, it's like from almost 500 years ago, sure, but that's sort of our history. That's kind of our heritage. That's the past. That's where people had to, you know, put their lives on the line to stand for the Lord and to do faithful things and to be faithful to Him. And so that's why it's so important to retell the past, isn't it? When we retell the past, even though it might sound a little bit boring initially, but our past is vital because our past is a part of who we are. It's who we are as a people. What we've been hearing today about Trinity, this is Trinity's story. This is actually who Trinity is. You can't deny that. You can't ignore that. You can't say, well, it wasn't important or it never happened. But this is actually who Trinity is, and this is part of Trinity's story. And so we remembered, we give thanks. Give thanks for the events, we give thanks for the people, we give thanks for the experiences, and we see, above all, what do we see? We see God, you know, who's been working and leading this church and helping and guiding us as a church. So that, you know, when we say, look, this is the Lord, this is God who, what, 2001, He got a bunch of people out, called them out to come out, and sounds a little bit like Abraham, I know, but he got them to come out and to start something new and to come into a community which they felt was unreached and to do a ministry here. And the Lord has been working in and through that. That is part of our story as a church. That is part of who we are. Maybe even as an individual, you can identify with that. How long have you walked with the Lord? What has your story been? Have you walked with the Lord 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, some people even 60 years? And you don't dismiss that. You look back to that, don't you? You look back to that with fondness and thankfulness, and you say, this is how the Lord called me. The Lord put His hand upon me, you know, when I was far away, and He's drawn me to Himself. And today I look back and I see that, and I give thanks to God for that. But like Peter, the Apostle Peter, he says, you know, we have to go on to more mature things, don't we? Or maybe today you're here going, Jeff, you know, my story is kind of not like that. I still just pop along to church every so often and see what these crazy Christians are up to. Well, that's good if you know that that's your story. Pray that the Lord would continue to lead you and bring you further on in that story to the next stage of the story. So, because God is doing something, isn't He? God is doing something. We've seen how God has been doing something in this church, and when we see that God is doing something, it gives us hope. It makes us realize that we're part of something, something bigger and greater, and something that is beyond ourselves, isn't it? But we can't just stop there, can we? You know, it's great to celebrate. It's great to give thanks. What about ourselves, though? What about where do we go from here? Well, notice what Joshua, he recites all this. Great history, isn't it? Exciting stuff. You know, everybody needs to know this. You need to know about Abraham. You need to know about Moses. You need to know about Isaac and Jacob and the Amalekites and the Moabites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. You need to know all that stuff because not only is that the history of Israel, that's your history as well today. And we need to know about Trinity and girls group and boys group and setting lawns on fire and vans and stuff like that. That's all important stuff. But what are we going to do with that today? And so what Joshua does is he says, now, okay, notice that, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites on whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And so Joshua, after looking back, he now comes into the present, doesn't he? And he challenges him and says, okay, what are you going to do now? It's been great to celebrate all that. It's been great to see all that. What are we going to do with that, though? What are you going to do today with all that? How are we going to carry that into the future? And so what he does is he just really comes back to this very personal challenge, doesn't he? Are you going to worship the Lord or are you going to worship idols? He realizes that there's a natural human tendency that we all have, which is, hey, we're cool, you know, God has done some amazing stuff in my life, but we start to drift along, don't we? And the idols start to creep in. John Calvin, you know, he described the human heart. He said that the heart of man is like a factory of idols. What did he mean? Is that we don't have to find idols, or people don't have to give you idols or introduce you to idols. We find idols, don't we, just within our very own hearts. Meaning we find something to put in the place of God constantly, other things to give our devotion and attention to and our worship to. And so he what he does is he challenges them and he says, we're standing here at Shechem today, folks. You remember your ancestor Abraham. He stood at Shechem and he devoted him and his family to go out and to serve and follow me, to leave all and follow me. Abraham did that at this very place. Jacob, at this very place, he took all of the idols and that his household had accumulated, he took them and he buried them to get rid of them so that no longer would they have any power or any authority in the lives of himself or his family. You see, what Joshua is calling for here is single-hearted devotion to God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so we've heard about God's goodness to Trinity over the years. But what about now? Are we walking in loyalty and we're worshiping him alone, or have the idols crept in? Is it time for us to bury our idols again? I'm not saying it's a one-off. It's sort of, we have to do that all the time, don't we? Because the idols come in, don't they? and the idols that just seem to dominate our lives. And you say, Jeff, what idols? You know, I don't even have a Buddha in my garden, or I don't even have a drawing on the wall or something like that. But we all have idols. We know that there are things that creep into our lives and that take over and they start to become more important to us than the Lord himself and serving him. You know, who watched the game last night? Oh, come on. Idolatry. No, I wasn't going to say that. But it's a great test, isn't it, though? Test, mind the pun. You know, but it's like, wow, if that game was on this morning, could I tear myself away and gather with God's people to worship? Yeah, okay, no problems, because it's like rugby. Right? But that's a test, isn't it? What is it that gets in the way of us coming to God wholeheartedly? You know, in all kinds of things, like money. Have you got enough money, people? Got enough money? Yeah, thinking about it. Need to do a bit more work, do you think? Get a bit more money. Phone. How's the phone going, people? Your phone a bit old? You've seen some new phones, eh? There's people with much newer phones. You need a new phone, right? Man, crumbs, phones, all that stuff. And like, we sort of joke about it, but there's stuff that comes into our lives, or, you know, it might be wonderful things like our children. Where do we put our children in our hearts and lives? What place do they have? Sometimes our children can we can idolize our children. We can spend all of our time thinking about our kids and devoted to them, and all of our energy focused on them, and we neglect our own relationship with the Lord. Or whatever it is, partner, you know, who demands our loyalty? Do you want to be with the Lord or do you want to be with me? That's a hard test, isn't it? And so there's always an opportunity for us to bury our idols. We can idolize so many things. So many things get in the way between us and God. And it's time for us to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You might want to say that right now to your neighbor. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Go on. We will serve the Lord. My third point is this: you can't do it. Sorry. You can't do it. Set up. Isn't that what Joshua says? Did you notice that? He says, you're not able. They go, yeah, Josh, yeah, we're with you, mate. As for us, we're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua says, no, you can't do it. Just like I did with you guys. You can't do it. And it sounds kind of mean, eh? It's like saying to a congregation of people, say to each other, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, and saying, no, you can't do it. Or saying to your kids, hey, do you want to go out and mow the lawns? And you say to them, you can't mow the lawns. You're not big enough. Why does he say that? He says, you are not able. It seems a bit mean, doesn't it? But what is he trying to do? He's trying to remind them that by themselves they can't do that. And that's what you and I need to be reminded by. Because if I say to you today, people, bury your idols, devote yourselves to the Lord, say to yourself, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, I'm going to send you out there as a bunch of hypocrites and as a bunch of legalists. And you'll say, I went to church on Sunday and I said, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to do that. Well, amen. I pray you do. But you need to understand that you can't by yourself, can you? You can't by yourself. You know, Joshua says, look, you can't do that because God is holy. God, he's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion. And it just reminds us, isn't it, that we are not good enough by ourselves. We fail. And we've heard about that. And that's been one of the awesome things, you know, as we reflect that we all come along to the church and we come along with our warts and all. And none of us are good enough. None of us measure up. And we don't say to people who come in and say, Jeff, I've got a problem. Or Haz, I've got a problem. Haz, you don't say, go away. I don't want to know about your problem. It's only people who are saying, we're serving the Lord here. We don't say that, do we? And so this is a reminder. They say, we will serve the Lord. But Joshua, he wants to remind them. I just want to read some passages, New Testament passages here that really kind of bring that home to us. Romans chapter 3. Ah, yes, Romans chapter 3, verse 10. You'll love this one. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have altogether become worthless. Is that where he leaves it? No. He goes on and says, for all have sinned. And all fall short. I thought it was going to get better. All fall short of the glory of God and are what? Are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Did you get that? It's like a bad news story, isn't it? It's like all have sinned. All have come short of God's glory. You know, all are afar off. But then he just suddenly just rams in this thing and just says, but we are justified freely by his grace. Justified freely by his grace. Ephesians chapter 2. If you've done scripture memorization, I'm sure you've memorized Ephesians 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of this air, the spirit that is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of you also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. For it is by grace you have been saved. You know, what this is telling us is that by nature, as we are, we actually don't want to, and we're unable to serve God. But God is rich in mercy, and God, he steps in, and he makes it possible. You know what he does? He actually changes your heart and makes you willing. If you're a Christian today, it's because God has changed your heart. You say to me, Jeff, you know, I've tried to become a Christian. I've prayed. I've said a few times, you know, God, I want to be a Christian. And it just doesn't seem to work. Well, what you need to do is ask God to change your heart. What you're waiting for is a work of God's Spirit, who actually says, who makes you, gives you a new will and a new desire. God will do that. And also, so you're unwilling and you're unable, meaning that God will give you a righteousness that doesn't belong to yourself. Notice that he doesn't say, and he makes them obedient so that they love God. What he does is instead, he takes away your unrighteousness and gives his righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Perfect, holy, obedient righteousness. You come naked and empty, and God gives you his goodness and his righteousness and fills you instead. So today, you know, we've been giving thanks for 15 years of what God has done and what God is doing amongst us. Actually, 15 years is not that old. You don't say to a 15-year-old at their birthday, like, oh boy, you know, do you remember? You know, when you're 15, it's kind of like, man, you know, you're going to get your license soon, and you'll be leaving home soon, and you'll be going out into the big wide world and getting a job, and life is just beginning. You haven't even kissed anybody yet, you know, hey, at 15. So it's just so much to experience. And, you know, when we're looking forward now, aren't we? Giving thanks for what God has done, praying that God would continue to do that in our lives. And that's why as we come here today, we come with Joshua and we say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord by your grace, Lord God, as you make us able, as you do that work in us. Don't tell yourself you can make it happen by trying harder. Just depend upon the Lord. Trust in him. And join with me today in confessing God's goodness, giving thanks for it, but looking to the future by grace. Looking to the future and trusting him that he's going to do a greater work in us. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that when you call us to yourself, you don't call us to come and try harder, but you call us to come to you in the name of your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, Lord God, as we are here to celebrate what you've done in and through us as a church, we pray that you would take us and use what you've given us and use it for the future, that your name would be honored and the glory of your name would be extended, and that more and more people in Takanini and around the world would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you. We thank you for the past. We pray that you would draw our hearts to yourself and you would help us to recommit ourselves to you, Lord, not by works, but through your Son who has done it all, as we claim the name of Jesus, as we claim his strength, as we claim his finished work. Would you work that out in our hearts and lives too, as we ask in his name. Amen.